Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is 6:15 and the hearing is now open. I hope that everyone can hear me clearly. We obviously are using microphones and I'll be asking you to do the same throughout the course of the hearing. However, if anyone has any difficulties in hearing what's being said, then please let us know and we can try and resolve those issues. If you have a mobile phone, please ensure it is switched off or on silent mode through the course of the hearing. My name is Heidi Cruikshank and I have been appointed by the Secretary of State to examine the application into the A30 Chiverton to Carlin Cross scheme. Just to introduce colleagues who are working with me who are at the back of the room, so I have Sian Evans, who's the case manager, and Jake Stevens, who's here helping us this week. If you have any questions or queries for the Planning Inspectorate, please do contact either of those parties. If you need the internet access code for here, then it is Malpass Road, so capital M, capital R, and road just RD, and you should be able to get online. All the documents are available online if you want them. Just in terms of fire exits, I understand there's no planned fire alarm tests this evening, so if we do hear a fire alarm, we need to leave, and the exits are through the door here. There's a door at the back there, which is just by where the toilets are, and there's also another door here on the left-hand side. I understand it's to meet on the road, so if you meet on the road, don't get run over by the fire engine, okay? So this is an open floor hearing, and the point is for me to hear from you the matters that you think I need to know. I want to hear from everyone I can, but in the interest of everyone's health and well-being, not least mine, we will finish by 9 o'clock at the very latest. I'll see how we're doing on time as to whether we'll take a mid-session break, but if you need to stretch your legs or leave at an earlier time, please feel free to do so. If you're able to do so at a time when it's not going to disturb other people, that would be appreciated. In the interest of openness and fairness to all parties, I would appreciate it if people would not attempt to engage me in any form of conversation if we do have an adjournment. It's not that I'm being unfriendly, just that it's important that people hear what's being said to me. I'm not engaged in private conversation with just one party. I should mention that I am again staying in the hotel used for our previous hearing sessions back in February, and I understand that some of the Highways England reps are also staying there, and there may be other parties also. Is everyone happy that I will keep my distance from them? There will be no talking in the bar, I can assure you. Although I do feel like I should be dancing on the stage, but you're lucky I won't. It's very important, ladies and gentlemen, that you understand that this hearing is recorded, and that means that you consent to the retention and publication of the recording. We'll only ask for information for the public record, which is relevant to the decision. And to avoid the need to edit recordings, please do your best not to say something that you would wish to be kept private and confidential. If there are matters that you feel that I do need to know that are relevant to, for example, your land interests and health, for example, then that information can be submitted in writing. As we're recording the session, when you speak, please can you give your name very clearly every time you speak, so that we, for the recording, we know who is speaking. I understand that Highways England are live streaming into, I think it's into this room here, and I think you can see, yes, so that's what's going into the room to the side of me, I believe. So just so that you know that that's happening, that's just so that they can keep up and hear what's being said, hear what people's issues are, and take those matters forward as they need to. Are there any questions in relation to that? Can I ask if anyone else here is intending to film or record the inquiry or make use of social media through the hearing? No? Thank you. So, if there are no questions, I'm not going to waste too much time. We'll go straight on and see if we can hear from those who have firstly, who have told us that they made a written request to us that they would like to be heard. So can I check who is here of the following? I have Mr. Dan Williams. Yes, would you still like to be heard? Thank you. Dr. Catherine Malham? No? Okay. I have John Wetherill. Sarah's going to speak. Okay, that's fine. Sarah. And Barney Scrace. Okay. And then I had Nick Jeans, who had reserved a right to speak. Do you wish to speak, Mr. Jeans? Okay, that's fine. So those are the parties I'm aware of who requested to speak. Can I ask if there is anyone else here who knows they wish to speak? Yes. Thank you. Okay. Yes. Thank you, Mr. Mutton. Is there anyone else here who knows now that they wish to speak? No? All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to allow everyone around about 10 minutes. Don't feel that you need to use all that time. If you've said everything you need to say in 2 minutes, that's absolutely fine. There will be no measure against that. I'm going to ask people to come and sit at the table here where I can see them and they can see me and they can make their representations with the microphone on. Everyone will be able to hear what's being said and so you can go forward from there. So are there any questions? Otherwise we'll go straight on. No? So Mr. Williams, would you like to come forward first? Or? Okay. You're throwing her forward. Okay. That's absolutely fine. So, Ms. Wetherill, if you'd like to come forward, thank you. And I think you should have a button on the microphone to just be able to turn it on.
Okay, yes, I'm Sarah Wetherill, representing Truro Cycling Campaign. I've come specifically to talk about the Chiverton Junction in relation to cycling. We will be attending the issue-specific hearing on Thursday, so we'll be able to go into any detail then. I just wanted to come along today, really, to talk in public about our views at the moment. So our major, and it won't take a couple of minutes, I'm sure, our major concerns following the formal pre-application consultation process was that the proposal for a cycle bridge at Chiverton through designated funds route was not sufficiently guaranteed. Funding was not at that point approved. However, recently, designated funds package has been announced, and subject to receiving a formal signed letter to this effect, we have received confirmation that this money is committed, the Highways England designated funds money is now committed, and that a formal funding agreement will soon be drawn up signed between Cornwall Council and Highways England. We've also, something else that we've been seeking was confirmation that the match funding from Cornwall Council could be spent after the 2021 deadline for designated funds money, and that was to allow the bridge at Chiverton to be putting either in tandem with the main scheme or after it. As I understand currently, the projected construction timetable is for the works to be done at Chiverton towards the end, so we could be in 2022 by the time that happens, and the designated funds deadline is 2021, which would mean that the bridge technically might have had to be put in before and be 2 metres higher than it needed to be. But now we've had confirmation from both Highways England and Cornwall Council that Cornwall Council's match funding can be spent after that deadline to meet the costs of the bridge. So with these guarantees, once they are in place, we feel we'd be sufficiently satisfied that a bridge will be delivered under the designated funds route. And in fact, on behalf of True Recycling Campaign, I would like to applaud the size of the designated funds package that has been approved by Highways England and accepted by Cornwall Council. This will, we feel, guarantee funding for a cycle highway between St Agnes and Three Milestone, including the bridge at Chiverton. And this will be an opportunity to future-proof cycling on this crucial route for generations to come. Just to say also that the consultation process for the A30 scheme has in fact shown a huge desire for safe cycling in the community, which now, hopefully with this designated fund, stands to reap all the health and environmental benefits that cycle route will bring. And we recently attended a Cornwall Council consultation event in St Agnes in relation to the Truro to St Agnes route. It was really well attended, so there is definitely a lot of support there, and this whole consultation process for the A30 scheme has helped to realise that potential. With regard to the underpass, so the underpass that's being proposed to the west of the new junction, we recognise that this serves to mitigate the severance caused by the new junction, that it will also connect with the detrunked A30 and the A3075, and that it does meet technical requirements. We appreciate also that this is not the forum to discuss the adequacy of policy, existing policy. However, we are concerned that this should potentially be improved in the future to cater for similar circumstances like this, where a crossing, an underpass of this length is proposed, and in particular, because it has been designed to serve not only cyclists, but walkers and horse riders as well. And on the point of the underpass, we understand that there is not room to increase the height of the underpass, currently at 2.7 metres, but we would like consideration to be given to increasing its width, which is currently proposed at 4 metres. This would make shared use by walkers, cyclists and equestrians more comfortable, with perhaps even some segregation through railings. So we do have some criticism of the Highways England guidelines, and they're perhaps not sufficiently clear for underpasses catering for all these types of users. That's it.
Thank you very much for your time, Ms. Wetherill.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Williams, did you want to follow straight on from that?
So, thanks for the opportunity to speak this evening. My name is Dan Williams. I'm a hip and knee surgeon working at the Royal Cornwall and Duchy Hospitals in Truro. I live in the middle of the North Coast community. I would like to speak to support what's been said already from a healthcare perspective of the need for all consultations like this to take into account our obligation as a community to promote an active environment. I'll start with what really triggered it for me to become more engaged in processes like this. A clinic I saw a few years ago, 4 male patients, one after the other, all in their early 50s. Each one of them had a destroyed hip or knee joint, requiring joint replacement surgery, quite complex surgery. Each patient weighed over 120 kilograms, one after the other in clinic, 19 stone. Each was physically inactive, getting nowhere near the sort of requirements for what we should be doing in terms of activity. This is no longer atypical in the clinics. I work in a very specialized area of healthcare, but it's right the way across our health service. And the example I give is really an illustration of the trends that we see. And in Cornwall, when you look at the figures produced, we have over one third of adults not meeting the Department of Health recommendations of 150 minutes of moderate physical activity each week. So that's 30 minutes, 5 times a week, is what we should all be doing to have a healthy lifestyle. And we've got a third of our local population getting nowhere near that. The World Health Organization Global Action Plan on Physical Activity states that 23% of adults, 81% of adolescents are not meeting the global recommendations for physical activity. So it's really to sort of emphasize the conclusion of this, the World Health Organization report, that there's an obligation on us all to promote active environments. And cycling physical activity really needs to be front and center of all infrastructure projects such as this. So it's great news today to really applaud Cornwall Council and Highways England. I heard today about the guarantee for spending the £2 million of designated funds after 2021. We thought we'd be coming here this evening to sort of bang the table. But it's brilliant news that that Highways England, Cornwall Council are guaranteeing the £2 million spend, which is going to ensure a direct, family-friendly cycle route from the North Coast into Truro. So really applaud what's going on, and figured I'd just come and put myself on the record this evening to say that. So thank you very much.
Thank you for your time, Ms. Williams. Thank you. So, Mr. Tofts, you're speaking on behalf of Mr. Parker.
Thank you, ma'am. I've got a written summary as well. I don't know if that would be useful to give to your assistants afterwards. So we refer to the submissions made on behalf of Sam Parker on the 19th of March 2019, to which a letter was attached dated 2017. That letter raised a number of issues in respect of the lack of provision for east-facing slip roads. The response that we've had to date from Highways England, well, we haven't received any response to date from Highways England, save that Highways England will not, in a period of consultation, the existing A30 will be maintained, and Highways England are working closely with Cornwall Council to understand the impact on the local road network. And the points raised in the letter were not addressed and have not been addressed. And those points, ma'am, are all about an east-facing slip road at Chibucca. So there's a west-facing slip road proposed by Highways England, but not an east-facing slip road. And to date, Highways England haven't addressed the points that we've raised. So there's a number of points which I'd like to highlight and reiterate in respect of that. And the letter that we'd sent in 2017 had a table of information, which I've now presented graphically, which hopefully should be a bit more user-friendly, ma'am. So if I may just go through the main points that we've put. The data on which the decision has been made does not support the conclusions that Highways England have drawn thus far. More traffic uses the existing junctions between Carlin Cross and Chiverton Cross in an east-facing direction than a west-facing. Highways England's own data in respect to the A shows that daily the A30 gains 537 trips net, so obviously people are coming on and going off, but gains 537 trips eastbound between those areas and loses 1,538 trips. So people are using the east-facing, what would be the east-facing slips, more than they're using the west-facing slip roads. And to date, we've not had any answer from Highways England in respect of that. The provision of west-facing slip roads is counterintuitive where there is a greater demand for eastbound slips. This is notwithstanding that the turning east onto the A30 at Chibucca is, to put it mildly, difficult. Highways England even recognise that there is a perception from local residents that movements right onto the A30 eastbound from the B3294 short lanes end is popular, and there may be suppressed demand by the difficulty of completing that manoeuvre at present. Mom, I believe you've been on a site visit today, so you may have seen that particular location. These facts do not support the conclusion that predicted traffic flows do not justify provision of an east-facing slip road. And to date, that's the only response that we've had from Highways England. Without the provision of east-facing slip roads, the net 1,548 vehicles per day that leave the A30 westbound will be required to either continue to use the existing A30 or use the A39. This traffic will not experience the reduction in journey times that's been claimed, which is one of the reasons that this scheme is put forward, nor will the net 1,422 vehicles which join the A30 between the east of Chibucca and Zela Hill. It should be noted that these net elements constitute between 13% and 16% of existing A30 traffic. The fact that they are net elements means that the actual use is likely to be much higher, as this only represents the difference between the numbers of vehicles leaving and joining the trunk road. Highways England's position appears to be that the partial junction at Chibucca Junction was introduced to reduce the usage of the proposed Chiverton Cross Junction for vehicles travelling between West Cornwall and Truro. But no figures have been seen which indicate the extent of this potential issue or its scale in context. The data which is available, however, indicates that the route into Truro via Short Lanes End is utilised to a significantly greater extent by traffic from the east, from Carlin Cross, than it is from traffic from the west. Traffic which gets onto the new A30 at Carlin Cross has no option but to proceed to the Chiverton Cross exit. It's not clear how this will reduce the usage of the proposed Chiverton Cross junction. There's no opportunity for them to get off the new A30 once they're on it. So given that Highways England's point is that, well, there's a problem in respect to the capacity of Chiverton Cross, shouldn't there be an option for traffic to get off of the A30 and prevent that from happening for westbound traffic? Given that around three times more traffic uses these junctions on a westbound direction than eastbound, the failure to provide east-facing slips presents a much more significant risk of impacting the junction at Chiverton Cross. The data does not support Highways England's position, and Highways England's position is irrational. In terms of impact on businesses, the impact on local businesses of loss of passing trade from the A30 has not been assessed. If east-facing slips are not included now, then they will be lost for a substantial period of time, if not forever. There are economies of scale in carrying out the works now, which means that any future proposal will be more costly and hence less likely to proceed. In addition, it's likely there'll be necessary to move roundabout accesses in order to accommodate the east-facing accesses, thereby incurring additional costs by undoing works already carried out. The one thing that the DCO does do currently, or the application does currently, the planning statement says changes in mileage and speed means the scheme will increase fuel and vehicle maintenance costs facing individuals and businesses. So they do recognise the issue to businesses, but that's not been quantified. In terms of resilience, Highways England say that the presence of east-facing slip roads would also allow the use of side roads between that point and the A39 or A390, should the trunk road have to be closed and traffic diverted, adding resilience to the trunk road network. Highways England have used the same argument for the west-facing slip roads, but then they omit it in relation to east-facing slips. And again, that's irrational, and to use a phrase that's been associated with Boris Johnson, it sounds a bit like cakeism. If we're going to say that there's a benefit of having west-facing slip roads, well, really, we ought to consider the benefit of having east-facing slip roads as well. It's also contrary to the scheme's objective to improve network reliability. In terms of amending the scheme, the land required for east-facing slips is not substantial and lies between two areas of compulsory purchase. We understand that the landowner is not likely to object to additional land being taken for such a purpose, and that land is also within an island surrounded by the DCO Red Line Mum. So in conclusion, the inclusion of an east-facing slip road would contribute to the following scheme objectives: contribute to regeneration and sustainable economic growth, support employment and residential development opportunities, improve network reliance and reduce journey times, deliver capacity enhancements to the strategic road network, and improve local and strategic connectivity. Marmon, as I'll give to your assistant, there's a graphic representation of the additional traffic that's using those junctions at that point.
Thank you, Mr. Tofts. That's very helpful. Mr. Newton, would you like to come forward?
Madam Inspector. Do I have to press the button? No. My comments are going to be much more general and quite brief. I'd be glad to know. Firstly, I just wanted to say that we at Nankara are, as some people have accused us of, being against any improvement to the A30. We are not. And as I'm not going to deal with our personal problems, which you know of right now, but we are in favour of a road improvement, but not, of, as you know, the route to the plant. We appreciate the need for improved traffic flows. However, it is my opinion that this scheme is overblown. It is not in keeping with the rural or the small scale nature of the area or the county, or indeed the necessity of such a large, almost motorway-like scheme. Moreover, in my opinion, and I know others who agree with me, the scheme has been planned essentially with only traffic increased speeds and transport interests in mind as the first priority. In my opinion, this is an arcane way of thinking. We should be thinking about the environment first. I believe that in this age of global climate change, species extinction, population growth, not to mention economic difficulties, that all development decisions should be designed with the environment and any effects on it first and foremost in mind. I believe this is what must happen in the future if we are to survive as a species. The roads should be designed to be fitted into the natural and human environment should be fitted into by the roads, not the other way around, not simply ignored and potentially diminished and destroyed, as has happened with this scheme in many areas. I believe that the lack of regard for the communities this scheme crosses, I mean natural communities, human communities, is the source of many, if not all, of the problems that this meeting and others have been made cognizant of to date. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Ms. Mewton.
Thank you.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I have heard from everyone who has indicated that they definitely wish to speak. Is there anyone who has not done so who knows that they do wish to speak now at this hearing? Thank you. So in terms of the issues that are arising, we're obviously going to be covering issues to do with the cycling routes in the hearing on Thursday. So those issues can be dealt with at that time. In terms of Mr. Mewton's comments, we have a compulsory acquisition hearing tomorrow afternoon. And some of the issues which have been raised will be looked at that period of time in relation to compulsory acquisition. In terms of Mr. Toft's presentation, we have some documents to come forward, and there may then be further questions which will arise as a result of that. So I'm not asking questions at the present moment in time. I'm going to have a look through the documents that we have, any responses which have been made by Highways England, and then decide how we go forward on that process, on that subject. Does anyone have any questions for me in relation to what I've said? All clear. Then really, if there are no questions, then we will have an early finish. If there's nothing further that I need to be aware of, everyone's happy. Just to confirm, if I can, the timings tomorrow so that everyone knows what's happening. So in the morning, in this venue, we're in this venue all week. So in the morning, 9:30 for a 10 o'clock start, and that's a DCO hearing. In the afternoon, we have a timings up. 2:30 for a 3 o'clock start, and that's the compulsory acquisition hearing. And then on Thursday morning, which will be that one, and that's a 9:30 for a 10 o'clock start, and that's the issue specific hearing into walking, cycling and horse riding. So that's how we're going forward. So, ladies and gentlemen, if there's nothing more, it simply remains for me to thank you all for your time and attendance this evening. I hope that you have found something from it, and I will see you over the next few days. Thank you very much. Hearing is closed.